that was the moment where I started realizing that I was living a life for other people. I was doing things based on other people's opinions. And I was making other people's opinions be my reality. And I wanted to change that because I was just tired of it.
I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Dan Smolin Podcast. We help people to navigate the future of work, to work that is profound, protects the planet, empowers people and communities, and is fun to do, meaningful work. The stories that our guests tell and the insights that they provide will inspire you to connect with work and experiences that stoke your passions and make the world a better place, where the future of work is meaningful work. The mission of the Dan Smolin Experience is to help people find success and enjoyment in the work that they do and hope to do. We believe there are four career journey components that get people to blissful work and career experiences, and they are dream, explore, strategize, and act. First, we encourage people of all ages, backgrounds, and levels of education and training to dream about the kind of work that they believe will make them happy and well-purposed. Next, we guide them to explore opportunities to do the work that they dream about. Then, we focus them to strategize, to align with the skill and experience needed to do the work and opportunities of their choosing. And last, we prod them to act, to seize on the opportunities to do the work of their dreams. We believe the key to success is intentionality, allowing dreams, explorations, strategies, and actions to happen fluidly. To be truly successful in the future of work, we must be career intentional about dreaming, exploring, strategizing, and acting throughout our lives. You can find useful and actionable resources on dansmolin.com. And when on the site, make sure you sign up for our free newsletter. Just click the newsletter tab on the top of our webpage, click subscribe, and you will be on your way. In a dynamic future of work, agility is key, and our ever-changing dreams can help us to align with future success. This is Thanksgiving week, and across the U.S., families have gathered for the first time in 2 years. Thanksgiving is the most American of holidays, and many of us celebrate it in unique ways that mimic the immigrant experience. There is no right way or wrong way to celebrate Thanksgiving. Just gather, give thanks, and enjoy the bounty. Our guest this week has surely celebrated Thanksgiving in his own way. Raj Subramanyam is a hardworking entrepreneur from southern India who, like many immigrants, arrived in this country full of beautiful career dreams. Raj is the product of a culture that values hard work but disapproves of career curiosity. He didn't take the expected path to doctor or lawyer or engineer. Instead, as a new American citizen, he uses his own experience to coach people, including a lot of fellow immigrants, to successfully find career bliss. We cover a lot of ground in this episode, including Raj's immigrant experience, the mistakes that he believes keep many doing work that they don't enjoy, and his take on the future of work. I spoke with Raj Subramanyam in August 2021 over Zoom. Raj Subramanyam, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Really excited to be here today.
And it's exciting to have you here, my friend. We have a lot to talk about, so let's get started. So you're the founder of Chai Latte Consulting. What is that exactly, and how would you describe your unique value proposition to people?
Yeah, that's a great question to start off the podcast with, because a lot of people ask me, chai latte consulting. It, you know, it sounds really innovative. How did you come up with the name? So just a quick background story, because I think it's really important for the conversation and what we stand for, my wife and I. So I'm brown. I grew up in the southern part of India, immigrated to the United States. And my wife is white Caucasian. And we always wanted to build our own legacy. We are big into D&I and inclusivity. And we wanted our company to represent the same. So we went to chai and latte because it's brown and then white. So chai latte. And then we have a mocha baby. So that is the name of chai latte, how the company actually became an LLC. So that's a story behind the name of the company. And the cool thing is, even we changed even our last name. So my original last name was Subramanian, which is like the John Smith of southern part of India. Like every one in two people you meet will have a Subramanian as their last name. And then my wife's name was Wiesmeyer. And then again, we are big into creating our own legacy and moving it forward for the future generation. So we combine our last names into Subramanyer, right? So that's a whole story behind my last name and my company name, because a lot of people are really curious about how your name is unique and your company name is unique. And talking about what I stand for and what I do as part of the company, I wanted to help the underdogs like me who have the skill set, but they're looking for guidance. They are looking to advance their careers. They want to have better personal lives, and they just need some guidance and some motivation to get them in the right path. So that's why we started this company. Yeah, I call it the immigrant mindset. That's what I instill as part of the company. So what I mean by that is, usually, not a lot of people know this, but immigrants who come to a foreign land, they have to go through a lot of obstacles. So for example, when I came to the United States, I had culture shock. I had a different accent. If you think now I have an accent, you don't even know. Like 15 years ago, I had a thicker accent. And then there are two brains, which are always turned on and off. One brain is our native brain, which we are used to. And then another brain is how you have to communicate the same information in a different way in a foreign land. So we constantly have to go through this process of having two brains. One is when you talk to your family, you'll be talking about one thing. And then when you talk about the same thing with people in a foreign land, then you have to change it, right? So for example, simple examples, right? If you say Microsoft and Google had a tie-up. So tie-up means joint venture, where I come from. So we would say tie-up. So when someone asks me about Microsoft or Google, say in a podcast like this, then instead of saying tie-up, then I would have to be really cognizant of what words I use. So I would say Microsoft and Google had a joint venture.
Right.
So that is the most simplest example I could give, but the differences are a lot. And so on a whole, to summarize what I was saying, it's about helping the underdogs, giving them the immigrant mindset, which is you face obstacles, but you can come out of it following different strategies. And we support diversity and inclusion. That's why most of my clients are people of color. And that's what I stand for as well.
So you bring up some really interesting aspects to your work that are bound to your upbringing and where you're from on the planet. And you had mentioned to me a couple different things in pre-interview. One is that you were kind of in a shell when you got here and you found your inner extrovert. And I'm wondering if you could talk about that. How did you break out of your shell coming to the United States as a Southern Indian and find your inner extrovert so that you could help other people?
My story is similar to a lot of immigrant stories some people would have heard, where you do not have a choice. You either have to succeed or go back to where you came from. So our choices are very limited as an immigrant. So just to provide some context, so I should tell about my story about coming to the United States, because that's going to paint the picture for your audience. I came to the United States in 2008, and I still remember this vividly. It was August 31st, 2008. And then on September 7th, 2008, Lehman Brothers, one of the biggest financial firms, which was in the US, became bankrupt overnight, and that kind of triggered the whole recession. And I had come to the United States to do my master's in software engineering. And half of my class was international students. And we were left with two choices. Either go back home from where we came from, because getting jobs as an immigrant is really hard and no one was ready to sponsor our work permit, because immigrants need a work permit sponsored by a company if you want to legally work. So either go back with half of my class, or the second choice was do whatever it takes and see what comes out of it. And not surprisingly, a lot of immigrants choose a second option because I had student loans. I had a lot going on based on what I do in the United States. And a lot of people's stories very similar, and they have multiple reasons for that. And so I luckily chose a second option. And from the beginning of 2009 till end of 2009, I applied for 1,293 jobs. 1,293 jobs. And guess how many callbacks I got from those 1,293 jobs?
No, probably about 1%.
Yeah, you're really close. So I literally got four callbacks, and then I converted one job, and that it was not an internship, but it was a full, it was not a full-time job, but it was an internship. And then I had to work my ass off for the first 6 months to prove to people that I could do the job, and the rest is history. How I came out of the shell, that's because when I was growing up, I grew up as a shy introverted kid, and I lived that life throughout for the first 20 years. And during my second year of my undergrad, I had this trigger event. I still remember it because my chest started hurting and the pain was increasing minute by minute. I was gasping for breath, and then I was sweating profusely, and then I started crying, and this went on for the next 2 hours. Apparently, that was my first panic attack, which I didn't realize it. But that was the moment where I started realizing that I was living a life for other people. I was doing things based on other people's opinions. And I was making other people's opinions be my reality. And I wanted to change that because I was just tired of it. So I decided that on that particular day, I decided that, you know what? I matter. I'm good enough. I have the skills, and I'm going to figure out my life. So I started writing down all my fears. I had fears of being judged, fear of being ignored, fear of public speaking, fear of failure. And I started writing them down. And then I started coming up with strategies to face each one of those fears and do something about it. And that thing which I did during my second year of my undergrad, I still feel that that was a moment which changed my life. So coming back to your initial question of how did you get out of the shell? What did you do to overcome it? I would say, even for other people listening or watching, I would say if you have different fears and if you feel stuck in your career or in your life, start writing what you're going through, what you're feeling. Start writing your fears down and then start mapping different strategies to get rid of those fears. And that's how transformation happens. So it starts with the mindset shift and then being consistent and trying to make a change. So that's how you come out of the shell. And that's what I did. I had experiences like what I described continuously throughout my life that has made me more resilient to failures and just keep, you know, spearheading and moving towards my goals.
So then you add another aspect of this panic inducing situation. And that is something you explained to me about your own culture, which is that young men like you in Southern India were not encouraged to question things, to question why is something the way it is. And you had said to me, we just don't do that. And I was astonished because I grew up in a Jewish American experience, and you were encouraged to question things. That's why so many of my people became, you know, attorneys and involved in civil rights and stuff like that, aside from being doctors. But in your culture, that was kind of taboo. So how did you overcome that stressful experience of your upbringing?
So as you said, where I come from the southern part of India, we follow a more hierarchical structure. So what do I mean by that is, like putting it into a career standpoint, for example, you have a manager, then you have employees who work for a manager, and you have this chain of command, and you need to respect this chain of command. And that's what happened when I grew up as well, where if I ask questions about things I don't understand, I got reprimanded for it because you have to follow the status quo and you have to respect what the elderly people tell you, apparently who has more experience, and you just have to follow it. blindly. So whenever I didn't understand things and kept asking questions, when I constantly kept getting reprimanded for it, I went into a shell because I thought, you know, people don't value what I have to say. And this is the way life is. Then I come to the United States. It is a totally different ballgame where people question everything. And you have a lot of freedom of speech, like to the extreme case here. And where I grew up, you don't have that much freedom of speech. So then I thought, you know what? I think I was meant for starting a new chapter of my life in this place because they encourage asking questions. And I don't have to feel scared about asking questions because everyone else around me does the same thing. So I got permission to ask questions, seeing how the culture is here in the United States. And that's how I made that transformation from a person who got reprimanded to ask questions and who stopped asking questions to learning and listening and seeing how the culture is in the United States and adapting to it, which is more of a, you know, asking question kind of mindset. So coming to the United States helped me make that transition because of the society and the culture and the environment we live in.
So you come to this country as an other. You speak English with a thick Southern Indian accent. You struggle with American idioms. You made that point, right? That is part of the Indian experience in coming to this country. We have strange Americanisms that don't make any sense to other people. And you had to overcome your fears and you had to learn how to pivot against adversity. And as you said, you laid out all your fears and how you were going to overcome them, which, by the way, Raj, is simply remarkable. I don't know a lot of people who have the temerity to do that. So all these things, all these superpowers in Raj led you to a career to help other people. And I'm wondering if you could talk how that comes into play in what you call getting people unstuck so that they can fulfill their dreams of doing meaningful work.
So first of all, I need to tell you, since you mentioned idioms and phrases, I need to tell you the story. I have so many funny stories of dealing with idioms and phrases. For your audience, I need to share this story because it's really funny. So I was working in a huge insurance company. It's the top three insurance company in the United States. And I was in a huge meeting with 25 people. And my project manager said, "May the force be with you." And I said, "Oh, okay, cool." That's what I said. You know what? The next thing I did, I actually went and Googled what the may the force be with you actually means. And then I found out it was a Star Wars reference. That was a real story which happened. I didn't know what the hell people were talking about. And then I found that it was a Star Wars reference, like pop culture thing. So those are the things we also need to think about. Like when you work with immigrants or people from different cultures, you need to be really cognizant of what kind of words you use, what kind of phrases do you use. You need to try to summarize what you said or ask the other person to summarize what you said to make sure both of you are on the same page. Those are some things to consider and people do not, you know about these things. So just wanted to mention that. But talking about how I use all these experiences to help people and help them get unstuck, I'm a strategic guy. And after helping over 50 plus clients who are usually in the mid to senior level positions in the tech space, this is the common theme I see where people have the skill sets. People have everything they need, but they have a mental block that they're not the right fit for whatever they're looking for. It's the limiting beliefs, which is the number one obstacle, which I have personally seen working with leaders in the tech space, which prevents them from moving forward. So when people work with me, I have a whole structure of what I do. The first thing is we start with their story. What are their obstacles? What they want to do in life? And just by asking them to share that story, you can figure out, okay, what are they doing? What skill sets they have? That's number one. Number two is working on their mindset. This is what I tell people. If you think that you're worth $50,000, then the way you act, the way you do things, the way you show up every day is going to reflect a person who earns $50,000. But if you think you're worth $200,000, then the way you show up, the way you act, the way you do things is going to reflect a person who's earning $200,000. It's all about the mindset, the way you think. So that's what I try to let people understand, that you have everything it takes. Like, for example, I was working with this client, and I'm continuing to work with this client. He had 23 years experience working in IT, and he's telling me that he doesn't have the right skill set to get into a manager position. I said, dude, even CTOs and owners of companies do not have 23 years experience in IT. And you are telling me that you don't have the skill set and the experience to get to a managerial level position with 23 years of experience in IT, and that too in big companies. That's a simple example of what I'm talking about. So you need to first work on their mindset. And then we talk about the different structures which they need to grow their personal brand. The next thing usually I do is what is called the mind dump exercise. And people listening, if you're interested, you could do this as well. And it's going to be really, really helpful. It's a really simple, but a really effective exercise. So what you do is just take a piece of paper and pen, put a vertical line in the middle of the paper. Okay. And then on the left side of the paper, you're going to write down different things you love to do, like to do, you want to do. On the right side, in the right column, you're going to write down different things you hate to do, and you don't want to do. Okay. Again, left column, things you love to do, you want to do. The right column, different things you hate to do, you don't want to do. Just by writing that, and do this in a 1 hour uninterrupted manner with no Facebooking, no messaging while doing this, because somehow getting your thoughts out of your head onto the paper will make a huge difference, because you're going to start seeing different patterns. For example, if you note down things like, I love creativity, I love finding solutions to complex problems, I love programming, I don't like processes, I don't like meetings, I don't like interacting with people, then maybe being a software developer at a startup company is something which is going to be, you know, a right fit for you. So you can start seeing different patterns based on the things you do. And from those patterns, you can find out different job positions which will apply to your strengths. You don't have to care about the weaknesses, because your weakness is someone else's strengths. So you don't have to care about that. You have to focus on your strengths and make sure the work you're doing aligns with your strengths. And just by doing that exercise, I'll know whether the client is in the right position or not. If he or she is not in the right position, then we know the answer, where we have to figure out a different job which maps to the strengths. Or if they are already in the right positions to their strengths, then we figure out, okay, what's their future plan? What do they want to become? How to go to the next level? So we have this methodical approach for their growth. And then, of course, we come up with a 3 month, 6 month, or a 1 year plan of what we want to do together, where we want to go and stuff like that. So that is kind of the whole structure. Then the last piece would be building their personal brand. Personal brand, especially talking about future of work. I know we both were talking about it before the podcast recording about the future of work. And that's what you are passionate about as well. The things people thought were important for advancing their careers or getting new jobs are different right now in the post-pandemic era. So what do I mean by that? Before, it was all about, oh, you have a master's in software engineering. Oh, you have a specialization. Oh, you went to Harvard, Stanford. Okay, man, you are the right fit for the job. But right now, the whole game has changed. It's about being jack of all trades and master of none. What that means is technology is evolving in such a rapid pace. If you just specialize in one particular thing, and then before you know it, there's a newer technology which is going to come, and then you have to retool your skill set. You cannot just hold on to your specialization. You need to change with the industry. And apart from learning new things, continuously learning, which is going to be really important moving forward, another thing is your personal brand is going to be everything. So say, for example, you're buying this body wash for 8 years, the same brand of body wash. The reason you're buying the same brand of body wash is not just because of the fragrance, it's not just because of the color, just not because of the packaging, not just because of the cost, not just because of the durability. That is, when you put it down, it doesn't split open. It's because about all these factors which makes you keep going to buy that body wash. Similarly, our personal brand is the exact same thing. It's not just your master's, it's not just your work experience, but different things which gets packaged into your personal brand. That's why moving forward, these are the things I would advise people to do to stand out from the crowd. One is they need to have a social media footprint, which is you have to start engaging on LinkedIn in other people's posts, connect with influencers, have a goal of having 5 calls with people in your industry every week. And that's how you build your network. Second thing is start attending conferences and meetup groups, because you're going to find a lot of people in the similar kind of space or a space you want to be in, and you can start building your network, right? A simple hack here would be, say, for example, meetups. What people can do is, and no one talks about this and no one actually knows about this, but I'm going to share a secret here. Say, for example, you have a meetup on how to program using Python programming language, right? There, you're going to see a list of attendees who are registered for the event. What you could do is literally take their name and plug that on LinkedIn.
Right.
And then you're going to get their whole profile. And then you can see whether they are the people you want to network with, and then connect with those folks. Send them a personalized message via LinkedIn. Build that network. So to summarize, I already talked about how I help people. First, we start with the mindset. Then we do the mind dump exercise. We identify different careers. We identify a plan. And then we start building your personal brand. I think everyone needs to do this, because you'll be surprised how many people are in the wrong position and they want to make a change, but they are stuck because they don't know that you can do all these things. And there you go. There's your free strategy session of how you can make a change as well.
So I spent 20 years as a headhunter, and I can tell you that 99.99% of my recruits didn't do all these steps, or any of them really. Personal branding is a fairly new tool for people who are professional talent. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But the really interesting why about all this, Raj, is that for certainly the last 40 years until now, people in the workspace responded to what they thought other people wanted them to do. And what does that mean? You got advanced degrees, you got an MBA with a focus in this particular aspect of work. And so for 40 years, people were trying to convince others and ultimately themselves, this is what I want to do. And as you point out, through that vertical listing, oftentimes they're doing things they don't want to do or they're ill-equipped to handle. So I really compliment you on your process here. And now I wanted to talk about the personal branding approach, because this is why it's so important right now. I went through this exercise myself. Why? Because in a situation, you want to be prepared to provide a succinct value proposition of who you are and what you do and why it matters, right? And that's how I came to calling myself the Future of Work Sherpa, because a Sherpa helps others get up the mountain. They have advanced skills. They're the unsung heroes. They don't take credit for anything. They're really about helping other people. And so I made myself the Future of Work Sherpa. I don't know of anybody else who calls themselves that, but to people of a certain level of understanding, they're like, okay, I get that. I get what you're trying to do. And in a way, that personal branding approach that you take your prospects, your clients through, does exactly that. Because if somebody asks you, Raj, what do? You want to be succinct, and you want to show your value, and you want to tell them why it matters to you, why it matters to you, so that ultimately you will hire them.
Exactly. That's a really, really great point. Before you continue, I want to stress on what he just said. And in my world, they call it the elevator pitch. So say, for example, you go to a networking event. You have 1 minute. You meet Steve Jobs. What are you going to tell Steve Jobs about what you do and how you bring value, right? So the elevator pitch is that 1 minute, 2 minute max spiel about yourself in terms of how you can bring value to other people and why the other person should connect with you. And I'm glad you mentioned it, because that is something also which I work on my clients' elevator pitches, because a common question you're going to get in any job is, tell me about yourself. There's kind of like an elevator pitch. They don't want history of where you went to high school, what you did when you were playing, or they just want, okay, give me a 2 minute pitch of what you do and why I should continue talking to you. That's it. So tell me about yourself. So I think people should work on their elevator pitch. And I think it's really, really important. And it's an iterative thing. For example, like if they ask me, then I would say, my name is Raj Subramanyam. I'm a tech career strategist. What I do is I help people specifically in the tech space to find their dream job and become successful leaders in the industry. I also do a lot of writing for tech companies and I speak at a lot of conferences. In fact, I'm giving 2 TED Talks as well. To know more about my work, you can check out my website at rajsubra.com. So the point is, you need to work on saying your value proposition really succinctly. And the way to do that would be, and Dan, you probably also, where you can add to this, where you take a Word document, just type in a paragraph about you, and then try practicing it and timing it, whether it comes within 1 minute to 2 minutes max, and then see whether it brings out your value and then your skill set and whether it sounds catchy, right? So that's why the opening sentence is really important. I say, I'm a tech career strategist helping people in tech, you know, tech career strategist. You said future of work Sherpa. I think it's really important to the first sentence to have something catchy, which is your elevator pitch. But I just wanted to stress on that for the listeners. Mm-hmm. What Dan was mentioning is so, so important. You need to have an elevator pitch. It's similar to the tell me about yourself question you are going to get if you're looking for jobs or if you're going to meet new people. This is how you differentiate yourself.
And it's terribly important for white dudes like me. But for people of color, especially for immigrants, I think it's even more important because, let's face it, you have some disadvantages in operating in a workplace that is historically white and ethnocentric. So in a positive manner, all these things help you bring that value proposition and the why right up front. And if you get it done right, then you're advantaging yourself. And by the way, we need immigrant talent in this country. We are starving. I'm on my high horse now, Raj. I'm sorry. But I am the grandchild of immigrants. My grandfather came to this country with lint in his pockets in 1913. And in just a matter of years, he went from pushing a pushcart down the street to having his own dry goods store. And along the way, serving in the Army, he developed language skills and he learned how to deal with people. And from the time he arrived in this country, 25 years later, he built a custom home for my grandmother, my aunt, and my dad. And he, sent my aunt to an exclusive college, Wellesley College in Massachusetts. And she got advanced degrees. And my father went into business and my grandfather built his first home, which was my first home. That's the immigrant experience. And we need that. We need that to drive our economy. And we need the thought leadership and the experiences that immigrants bring to this country because they know how special it is here, right?
I know. People do not realize. So I can talk about the United States because that's my experience. People do not realize how good the United States is compared to other countries. That's why I recommend everyone to at least travel once outside the United States to see how the situation is. Right. Then you realize the true value of where you are. I think United States is a land of opportunities and people are waiting for opportunities to come to them. But you are in a position right now to choose which opportunities you want to pursue and go for it. And I think people have to become more proactive. That is number one. Number two is the education. I know there's a bad kind of media coverage when it comes to immigrants because they're stealing jobs, US jobs. That's what people say. But you have to read slightly more to know the value immigrants are giving to the economy. For example, 44 out of the 87 companies which are valued over $1 billion were started by immigrants. And on an average, they've created 760 jobs, right? And everyone loves Zoom. Who do you think, you know, came up with
that? China.
Eric Yuan.
He wanted to talk to his girlfriend 6 time zones away. He started Zoom.
Exactly. And then
by the way, I love that pitch so much that my wife and I bought stock in Zoom when it was still cheap. Thank you.
Oh, nice. you did the right thing, man.
Yes, we did.
I missed it, but And then everyone loves Google. Right. Who do you think was a co-founder of Google? Like Sergey Brin. He was an immigrant as well. So people do not realize that most of the things they use was because an immigrant thought about starting something like that. And data is out there that immigrants actually fuel more jobs. So if people think you're stealing jobs, you probably want to think again because of the different things you're using as part of your daily life. And also the data, which the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission puts out every month, you yourself can go see it, like how immigrants are adding value. So my point here is whenever you see immigrants, just first look at them with some empathy because they have a lot of stuff they have to fight through on a daily basis, and they really want to help people. And now, for example, I'm an immigrant, and right. yes, I became a U.S. citizen, but the point is I've helped over 50 plus people. And for them to earn higher salary and provide for their families. Yeah, I know 75% of my clients are people of color, but there are 25% of them who are white Caucasian people who live in the United States, and I've helped them increase their salary. And because of me, their life is getting better. See, even from a smallest perspective, you know, I'm adding value as an immigrant, and that's what is happening. So just think deep into it in terms of before judging people, just right. treat them as humans because they've come here for a purpose. They have their own family, just like everyone else over here. They're trying to make a living and they want to live that American dream, which everyone talks about. And so just be more empathetic and then support each other. And that's what humanity is all about, bottom line, right? It's not about competing with each other saying, okay, you are better than me, but it's about, okay, as a society, how can we grow together? And that's what I think we need to think about more.
Immigrants understand the idea of scale better than anybody. I'll give you a really wild example. My first job out of college in Washington, D.C., I worked on the corner 15th and L Street, right across the street from the old Washington Post building. Okay, that's immaterial. But this is the material part. This dude, he was Korean, didn't speak any English, had this beat up old Econoline van filled with merchandise. And he got a permit and he set up selling stuff on the corner. He spent nothing, saved everything. Scale, 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 savings, right?
Right.
Within 9 months of his arrival on that street corner, he had enough money to get a leasehold for the concession shop on the ground floor of our lobby. Truck went away. He now had an established business. Why? Because he understood scale. Right. He understood don't spend. You get something for $5, figure out a way to then turn it into something that you can sell for 10, right? And that's what he did. He was joyful. I didn't understand a word he was saying, but his kids spoke perfect English. They transacted with all the customers. The guy was great. American success story.
Exactly. And you hear that all the time. And not to say that people are born and brought up in the United States do not have success and they do not go through obstacles. Everyone does go through obstacles. But for some reason, when people of color or immigrants go through obstacles, it's viewed a different way
right.
than other folks. So that's the stigma I think we just need to think through. I'm not saying right or wrong because I don't want to get political here. But what I'm just trying to say is treat people with respect. We talk about the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Just think about that. And everyone here is there to support each other. And especially in the tech space, you are going to get immigrants because they're coming with different perspectives, different ideas. So you have to be ready whether you like it or not. So that's the truth. And everywhere you see, you are going to have people who are foreign. And but just remember that most of them are at least trying to add value and trying to make a living of their own and trying to create more jobs. And that's what it's all about.
So we've talked about future of work on this podcast. What are the future of work opportunities that you hear about that you're really excited about, Raj?
Wow, there's a lot of opportunities here. To start with, I believe that everyone is born an entrepreneur, but the difference is whether they do something about it. That's my theory. I think everyone has an entrepreneurial mindset. Talking about future of work, the technology has advanced in such a rapid pace. And one thing we learned from COVID is you don't have to be physically present to, you know, run a business or start a business. Everything can be done remotely. We have all the technology. We have all the mentors. We have all the support system. So talking about future of work, I think people just have to figure out, do the mind dump exercise, which we just talked about, figure out what your strengths and passions are. And if you feel that the current job, which you're doing, is not giving you joy, or you feel that, you know, you're not contributing positively to yourself and the community, then you could always pivot. Pivoting has become a lot more easier, I think, in the post-pandemic era, because a lot of people were forced to do that during the COVID era, right? So just pivot. And a lot of people then say, oh, Raj, you're saying, okay, try new things. What if we fail? And then we lost our full-time job, which I left. And now I started a new business, even that failed, and now I'm miserable.
Hey, that failure got you to a better situation.
Exactly. That is one thing. And the second thing is, you don't have to go all feet in and go there blindly. You always need to have a strategy. For example, the way I became an entrepreneur and started my own six-figure business was when I was having my full-time job, I was starting to experiment with different side hustles. I did corporate training. Mm-hmm. I did tech workshops. And then I eventually came to career coaching because I was doing that as part of managing teams when I was having full-time jobs working for different companies. So you can start with a hybrid approach where you hold a full-time job and then experiment with different side hustles. And then once you find joy in something, then figure out how to scale, because you were just talking about scale. So figure out how to scale that, how you can monetize it. And then you can go both feet into that side hustle, which you want to make into a full-time hustle. So that's the way you can strategically approach. So in terms of future of work, yeah, it looks really bright for a lot of people. You can do whatever you want. It's just a matter of whether you want to make a change. That's what it all comes down to.
Raj Subramanyam, what a great guest. I am so excited for you. And you're going to be recording your TED Talk in a matter of days. You must be so nervous and so anxious about it. How's that going?
I gave my first TED Talk in July timeframe, and it got a great reception. So that practice, which I had, and all the structure and strategies I followed, has prepped me for my second TED Talk, which I'll be giving in a couple of weeks, actually. And I'm really excited for it, to talk about toxic leadership. So that's what I'll be talking about.
Perfect.
That's the talk which I'll be doing. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, timely topic, toxic leadership, who have to learn how to adapt to the new ways of working and where people are going to work. So when this episode airs, we will provide a link to your TED Talk so everybody can get to see it. In the meantime, where else can we point people to learn about your thought leadership?
So there are two ways where people can learn about the work I do. One is my website, which is rajsubra.com, rajsubra.com. There you'll find my life's work, all the publications I do, how I help people. You'll find all information about me. Then you have the second website called skyrocketyourcareerbook.com. So I wrote a book called Skyrocket Your Career, which hit number 5 on the Amazon bestseller list. So that has impacted a lot of people. And if you really want to check it out, go to that website, skyrocketyourcareerbook.com, and you can even download the first chapter for free as well. Those are the two ways you can check out my work. And of course, I'm super active on LinkedIn. I live on LinkedIn. So if anyone wants to connect with me, you know, just want to, you know, get to know me and network, feel free to ping me, connect with me, follow me, because I also share videos and content almost every single day on LinkedIn, which is going to help you grow.
I think that's brilliant. And I hope we can get you back on. You're a great guest and a good friend. And I wish you all the greatest success. Thank you, Raj.
Thank you so much for having me, man. It's a pleasure. And I want to acknowledge you for how you are impacting so many people through your podcast. And I think you're doing life's work, and I really acknowledge you for that, and hope more people listen to your podcast, because I personally have listened to them and I found a lot of value from it. So,
wow. What an endorsement. Thanks, Raj.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Links to Raj Supermeyer's social media are included in the show notes for this episode at dansmolin.com. Meantime, if you haven't done so, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you get them, or listen to current and past episodes on our website at dansmolin.com. And please take a moment to positively rate and comment wherever you listen to the podcast, because that helps us to connect with new listeners. I'm Dan Smullen, and this is the Dan Smullen Podcast. Thank you for joining us on an amazing journey to the future of work doing meaningful work. And do remember this, our best days lie ahead. Let's connect again next week.